all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We also want to thank Eisenhower Center. It's a brain injury recovery center. Learn more about EisenhowerCenter.com. They're located in Michigan and in Florida. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. Contact us if you'd like to be a sponsor on Veterans Radio, and let's move on to our program. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Paul J. Ryan. Paul Ryan is a retired Navy Reserve captain. He's a resident of West Michigan over in Johnson, Michigan. Started life in Brooklyn, New York. Graduated with honors from the University of Notre Dame. Commissioned as an ensign and made his way all the way up to captain. So, Paul, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, Jim. Good to be with you.
Well, you served about 25 plus years in the Navy, Navy Reserve, with all kinds of different assignments in peacetime, and you were a surface warfare officer. How did a nice boy from Brooklyn, New York, end up in the Navy?
Well, interesting question there. I actually attended a military high school in Manhattan. It's a pretty unusual school at that time in that it was a day school, not a boarding school like a lot of military schools are. It was also parochial. It was Catholic. And the military program at that time was mandatory through the Junior Army ROTC program. Fell in love with that and was looking when I was getting ready to graduate, looking at colleges. And I couldn't afford to go without a scholarship, so I was looking at Army and Navy ROTC scholarships and decided I didn't want to get that dirty by being in a foxhole. So I applied for a Navy scholarship and was fortunate enough to get it. Graduated from Notre Dame's Navy ROTC program with my bachelor's degree 2 weeks after the Vietnam War ended. The war ended April 30th, 1975, when the Viet Cong captured Saigon, and I was commissioned on May 17th. So I just missed the Vietnam War by 2 weeks.
Some guys just have all the luck. But you had obviously a very interesting career and one that you enjoyed because you stayed for the whole retirement period.
Yes, I was on active duty for 5 years, all of that in San Diego, made one peacetime deployment to the Western Pacific on a destroyer, was the oldest destroyer on active duty with the Navy at that time, was built in 1946, was in what's called the Individual Ready Reserve after that for about 18 months before I started active drilling, and stayed with that until 2005, when it was basically mandatory retirement. That's a federal law that governs reserve officers in all the branches. You'd have to be at least selected for the next promotion up, which for me would be rear admiral or one-star admiral. And if you aren't selected for that, then you have to retire at 30 years of commissioned service, which is what I did in 2005.
You had a very interesting civilian career in banking as well. You were involved with Fifth Third Bank in Grand Rapids, which if you're old enough like me, you notice the predecessor was Old Kent Bank, which had a great reputation. So you had a very fulfilling civil career as well.
Yeah, I was 37 years in banking when you stitched together my time with Fifth Third and time with Old Kent, and most of that, just about all of it, was in the trusts and estates and investment planning area. A very interesting career, met a lot of interesting people, employees, vendors, as well as clients, and really a lot of interesting situations and some interesting business travel as well.
So you stayed involved in your civilian career with military matters as well and veteran matters. You participated in the Michigan Committee for Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, or ESGR. You were active with the Military Officers Association of America, the United Veterans Council of Kent County, and the West Michigan Veterans Coalition. And all of that's to say you are currently a board member on the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor. And that's kind of why we have you on today, because we want to talk about an upcoming induction ceremony that the Hall of Honor is having for Michigan military and veterans for the class of 2020, which got diverted because of COVID. But that Hall of Honor is coming up. When and where will that induction ceremony be?
Yeah, the Hall of Honor does conduct an annual induction ceremony to recognize Michigan's most distinguished service members and veterans. We had our initial induction ceremony in 2019. COVID, of course, last year had to put the kibosh on that. But this year, in 2021, we are combining the induction class of 2020 and 2021 in our ceremony on Friday, November 19th at the Michigan History Museum in Lansing.
Well, it's going to be great to be able to get all of these veterans and military members or their family members together in person for an event on November 19th of 2021, beginning about 12:30 p.m. at the Michigan History Museum in Lansing. Talk to us a little bit, before we start talking specifically about the class of 2020, Paul, talk to us a little bit about what the mission or goal of the Hall of Honor is.
Yeah, the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor is a relatively new nonprofit entity created in 2017, and it's designed to have a place, a forum, for recognizing Michigan citizens who have distinguished themselves either through exceptional service while in the military or exceptional public service after they've taken off the uniform. Our very first induction ceremony, as I said, was 2019, beginning from a standing start. We filled that auditorium with over 240 people. Our mission is threefold. First is to recognize those individuals who the Hall of Honor believes are deserving of that recognition. And I'll tell you, Jim, that in my short time, just a couple of years with the Hall of Honor board, I have been really overwhelmed with the knowledge of some of the extraordinary people, Michiganders, who have served in uniform and had some extraordinary careers in uniform, and some individuals who have provided some really outstanding, extraordinary contributions to our society in a variety of ways. In recognizing these individuals, we hope to educate Michigan citizens, particularly young people, about military service as well as civic service, in order to instill an understanding of an appreciation for patriotism and civic virtue. As I said earlier, we're a new organization, so those two goals we think we are pretty good at executing at present. At some point in the future, as our organization matures, we hope to promote through scholarships, possibly nonprofit grants and other means, to promote the research and teaching of Michigan's military heritage, and more importantly, the importance of military service to citizenship and our responsibilities as citizens throughout the state and throughout the country. I'm particularly concerned about that last piece, since we know that those currently serving in uniform, the active component, the reserve component, and the National Guard amounts to less than 1% of the total population. And if you look at anyone with military service going all the way back to World War II, that figure represents only about 7% of the population. So, you know, 90+% of the people in the population of the United States don't have direct military experience. And so an organization like the Hall of Honor is, I think, pretty important to educate people about what that looks like.
Well, and what's really interesting, and we're going to turn to the class of 2020 inductees here momentarily, but what's really interesting when you look at the inductees and you hear their individual stories, that's where history is really written, and that's where history can be taught to the general population, to our kids, to realize what some of these folks have done and sacrificed, both in service and then kind of what's unique about the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor is it also recognizes those folks who, after getting out of service, continue to, if you will, serve the country in their private sector jobs in a big way. And we'll talk about some of those. And we're talking to Paul Ryan, retired Captain Navy Reserve, who's on the board of the Hall of Honor. Paul, do you want to start by just sort of naming all of the inductees in the class of 2020 that are going to be put in to the hall come this November for the, if you will, for the first time for them on November 19th, 2021?
Yeah, happy to do that, Jim. There are six inductees that we are bringing into the Hall of Honor in what we call the military category. That would be inductees who would be recognized for their military careers and military service. And then six inductees that we are categorizing as veteran category inductees, those folks who have had very significant, extraordinary contributions to our society after they've taken off the uniform. The first of the six military category inductees is Maurice Kurtz. Maurice rose to the rank of four-star admiral in the Navy. He was a veteran of both World War I and World War II, was a combat leader, particularly in World War II.
And each of these folks have their own story, and we're not going to have the time to go through all of them, but we're going to direct people to the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor website, which is MIMilitaryVet, HallofHonor.org, where you're going to be able to read the full story. But let's go on, Paul. Richard Gallagher, I think, is next up. Another Navy man that you want to promote.
Richard Gallagher is a three-star admiral in the Navy. Morton Harris was a major in the U.S. Army Air Corps. Alida Lutz served in the U.S. Army Air Corps. Lucius Theus who was a general officer in the U.S. Air Force, and Donald Thompson, lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force. Those are the six military category inductees for the class of 2020. And then in the veteran category, we're bringing in Rosemarie Aquilina, was a major in the Army National Guard, Gerald Ford, President of the United States, William Milliken, was an Army veteran, governor of Michigan, Gary Peters, Navy veteran, U.S. Senator, Peter Secchia, Marine Corps veteran, and Linda Woods, an Air Force veteran.
Well, I could just tell by the branch of service and the names of the individuals that there's a good mix of officers enlisted, every branch of the service. It sounds like the Hall of Honor is trying to make sure that it's representing all kinds of different Michigan veterans and military members. Do I have that right?
Exactly right, Jim. And what counts for us is the achievement. And when we look at extraordinary achievement, that can occur anywhere. Officer service as an officer, service as an enlisted person, experience in combat, non-combat experience, as well as just a wide variety of service to the community as a civilian after military service in the fields of academia, business leadership, philanthropy, education, you name it. It's, it runs the gamut. And I've been looking at the inductees. I'm just thrilled at the diversity of achievement, you know, who these people are and what they've done.
Well, there's a couple of these inductees in the class of 2020 I want to ask you to drill down a little bit more on, because I found them kind of interesting. And tell us about this, the story about Althea Lutz, who was a Army Nurse Corps veteran, but a heck of a story.
Yeah, Althea Lutz is the perfect example of wartime bravery. She was from Freeland, Michigan, born in 1915. She volunteered for the U.S. Army Nurse Corps pretty shortly after World War II, in the beginning of World War II, in February 1942, commissioned a second lieutenant, was trained as an air evacuation nurse, something that was really new for the military, new and untested at that time. Was assigned to a medical unit, the 802nd Medical Air Evacuation Squadron, which was part of the U.S. Army Air Corps' 12th Air Force. Her unit was deployed to North Africa, and was the first one to do a wartime deployment overseas. Alita participated in six battle campaigns over a 20-month period. She accompanied air combat missions and conducted all-weather medical evacuations in France, Italy, and Tunisia. Tragically, Alita died at age of 28 when her aircraft crashed in France in November of 1944. Her medevac flight crashed, no survivors. On that plane were 15 wounded soldiers, nine of whom were American and six were German POWs. Alita was the first American woman to die during World War II. She was the most experienced flight nurse in the U.S. military service, with 196 separate sorties, separate flights, 814 flight nurse combat hours, and the most patients transferred, 3,500 patients, Jim, with none lost under her care.
Oh, my. I mean, you hear that story of this woman from Michigan, and it ought to be a movie. I mean, I don't know if people realize the bravery, the sacrifice. And at that time, air evacuation was unheard of. This was a whole new area of medicine of how do you do this. And this woman became the most successful, most experienced flight nurse. But in the end, it's a risky business, and she dies in a plane crash. Great person to have inducted into the Hall of Honor, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, the risk of simply going up, Jim, in a flight at that very early stage in this type of military activity, a big risk, and tragically, she paid the price for that when her plane crashed. But you're right, just an outstanding story. And I'm very grateful to my fellow Hall of Honor board members for uncovering this story, promulgating it, and making a decision to induct her.
Well, it just shows the quality of people going into the Hall of Honor. And I want you to drill down a little bit more on another such person. Major General Lucius Theus is... when you hear these guys' titles, you think, well, you know, they don't get born a general. They don't get born a flight nurse. They go through a lot to get to where they're at. Tell us a little bit about his story.
Yeah, Lucius Theus, great story here too, Jim. He was born in 1922 in Tennessee, actually, but lived most of his life in Michigan. He got a bachelor's degree from the University of Maryland and a master's degree from George Washington University. He enlisted in the U.S. Army Air Corps, just like Alita did, in 1942 as a private, buck private, and went all the way up eventually to two-star general. Right after the war, he was admitted to officer candidate school in the Army, graduated second in his officer class, and was commissioned as a second lieutenant. Lucius Theus had a 37-year career in what became the United States Air Force in 1948. Many different assignments, both stateside and overseas, one of which was the director of the Air Force Accounting and Finance Center in Denver. Graduated from distinction with distinction from the Air War College at Maxwell Air Force Base. He was base commander at Cameron Bay Air Base in Vietnam. Lucius developed the direct deposit system for military payrolls. When I was on active duty in 1975-1980, I would get this paper check and had to go to the bank and deposit it. Well, General Theus changed that for the entire military. He also led a Department of Defense task force in studying race relations within the military. And under his leadership, a lot of significant education programs and policies were developed to counter issues in race relations and improve them within the military. General Theus retired from the Air Force in 1979. Many high decorations for someone who was not really in combat. He played a support role in the Tuskegee Airmen and basically played support roles throughout his career. He was the first African-American combat support officer to be promoted to the rank of general, one-star general, in any branch of the military. General Theus died in 2007 at the age of 85 and is buried in Arlington National Cemetery.
Again, one of these stories of a man who just, you know, born in humble beginnings in Tennessee, who goes on through education and hard work, just has an amazing career. A bright, bright guy, because you can tell that from all of the assignments that he had and how, what he accomplished. But just a wonderful quality human being to be inducted into the Hall of Honor. So again, I commend the board for its activity there. Let's go on to somebody who didn't obtain the rank of general, somebody who was a Marine sergeant during his time, Peter Secchia.
Peter Secchia is a 2020 inductee in the veteran category. He's a well-known business leader and philanthropist here in the western part of the state, from Grand Rapids originally. Lived in Grand Rapids for many years, actually born in New Jersey in 1937. served as a sergeant in the Marine Corps in the late 50s. He did obtain his bachelor's degree in economics from Michigan State in 1963. Was very active in Michigan's Republican politics. He was a Republican National Committeeman in 1980, 84, and 88. He was vice chair of the RNC's Midwest region for a number of years. He was an advisor to the 1988 election campaign committee for George H.W. Bush, was appointed as the United States ambassador to Italy and the Principality of San Marino by President Bush, and served in that role from 1989 to 1993. Peter was chief executive officer for Universal Forest Products, a very prominent company in Michigan, served in many nonprofit voluntary capacities as well, on the board of John Cabot University in Rome. Governor Engler appointed him as chair of SECIA Commission 1, which focused on improving government services. Governor Engler also appointed Peter to SECIA Commission 2, which focused on public sector pensions. But he was also known for just outstanding philanthropy. Peter donated $1 million in 2010 to MSU for construction of the women's softball field named SECIA Stadium, a building on the Michigan State College of Human Medicine campus in Grand Rapids was named after him. And many public awards, really too numerous to mention, Jim. I actually met Peter a couple of times. One time was at a Economic Club of Grand Rapids lunch that was arranged to commemorate 9/11 a few years back. And I attended that and brought a couple of military folks with me, one of whom was a Marine officer. And around the table are all these various high-powered people, and Peter's sitting there. He did not take any interest in any of those people, but he talked that Marine's ear off. once a Marine, always a Marine, and Mr. Secchia really showed that.
Well, I think it's important that we recognize folks not only for their military service, but the way in which they continue their public service afterwards, and it certainly sounds like Peter Secchia did that in bushel basketfuls. But this board has, you know, in the 2020 class, you've got President Ford, you got Governor Milliken, you have Senator Peters, really men who cross all political lines, Democrats, Independents, Republicans. And it really isn't about their, you know, what initial they put after their name, is it, Paul? It's about the service.
Exactly right, Jim. What we're looking for as a board for these inductees and potential inductees for the future is achievement, thought leadership, initiative, overcoming barriers. Breaking through, being the first of something. And I think in 2021, we have a candidate or two that fits certainly those descriptions.
Well, let's remind our Veteran Radio listeners that we're talking to Paul J. Ryan, Navy Captain Reserve retired, board member of the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor, and that the induction ceremony is coming up November 19th. At the Michigan History Museum in Lansing, and folks can go to the website to find out more information, and can they attend the ceremony?
Right, open to the public, free and open to the public, so come on and join us if you find yourself in Lansing on November 19th.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
We again want to thank our national sponsors, the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org, Eisenhower Center, VA Ann Arbor Health Care System, the Vietnam Veterans of America, Charles S. Kettles Chapter, Ann Arbor, Michigan, VFW Graf O'Hara Post 423 in Ann Arbor, and the American Legion Presscorn Post 46, also in Ann Arbor. They keep us on the air, as does your support. Go to Facebook, go to veteransradio.net, and support our efforts. And until next time, you are dismissed.